Welcome to the Vanessa G Fitcast. If you think eating less is the answer to getting lean, or that you have to choose between having donuts and wine or having a body you love, well then girl, you are in the right place. Chances are you've fallen victim to diet culture's terrible advice on how to eat and exercise. But don't worry, this podcast is going to bring you actionable information so you can start transforming your body without giving up your life. I'm Vanessa Gillette, founder and head coach of Vanessa G Fitness and Nutrition. This podcast was born from my passion for helping all women create bodies they feel confident in. Thank you for tuning in and trusting me to support and guide you. Now let's do this. Welcome back to another episode of the Vanessa G Fitcast. I'm Vanessa Gillette, and with me here is
Omar Pozos. Hey, guys.
All right, Omar, this is going to be a topic that you are going to love to hear all about, because today we're talking about everything equestrian athletes need to know about nutrition.
Perfect. So I'll just sit back and listen to you talk, basically.
Nah, you'll probably find some of this stuff interesting. And for anybody listening, you know, this is really going to be an episode particularly useful for my horse girls, those who show horses, those who have experience in the world of equestrian. It's going to be a lot of information for you. But anybody else, there's a lot of takeaways from here as well, just for anybody who has any kind of active hobbies in their life. So really, you know, what brings this about? As you know, Omar, I do work with a lot of horse girls because I am a weird horse girl myself. But, you know, on my team, I have girls who ride professionally. I have girls who show quarter horses recreationally. So, I mean, I have girls from all ends of the spectrum, like in the hunter circuit, in the quarter horse circuit. I have horse trainers. I have horse judges. I have past and present Division I equestrians collegiately. So, you know, I have all different levels of equestrians in my group of clients. And with that, I've definitely acquired a lot of perspective on the importance of nutrition for equestrian athletes. You know, I myself, like when I was a D1 equestrian at UGA, like I was very much driven by how I looked. And for me, I just, you know, I've talked about this before back in, I think, episode 1, like I wanted so badly just to look like an athlete. That's, you know, what I said to my very first nutrition coach when I signed up for it. I said, you know, I just want to look like an athlete. And it was a pain point for me. It was something that really hurt me, because going off to UGA, I felt like this was some huge accomplishment to be a Division I athlete at the University of Georgia. Like, that felt like a big deal, and it felt like I should earn some level of respect to be an athlete. But like, I quickly realized that equestrians typically aren't considered athletes by most people.
Does that bother you? Does that concept bother you, that people say, oh, you know, horse riding's not really a sport? Does that kind of get in the horse community?
Bothered me a lot back in the day. You know, nowadays I'm very secure into where, you know, it doesn't really bother me at all what people say about different things. And, you know, it's one of those things where, okay, those people say that, but you get them on a horse and then they're, you know, they won't even pet the horse because they're terrified of it. So it's like, okay.
Myself included. Remember when I visited your family's barn and mm-hmm. I got on the horse, I was like, all right, this is a little tougher than I thought it would be.
Yeah, like even at UGA, you know, we'd have these like ripped gymnasts who they would be like, oh, you know, I tried riding a horse recently and I am so sore. And you don't realize, you just use different muscle groups that you're not used to using.
Yeah, definitely. And with that being said, I mean, you do obviously treat it like a competition. You have to fuel properly and mm-hmm. do all the rest recovery and all that stuff for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, that all being said, like I was saying, for me, when I was in college, I wasn't thinking that way, though. I wasn't thinking like, oh, I need to learn to eat correctly to fuel myself for my sport. I was thinking I need to learn to eat to get as lean as, you know, thin and lean and toned and just have the best body possible.
Are those, what do you call what you guys wear, your uniform? Mm-hmm. Are those things comfortable? Because they look super tight.
They're very, very tight, yes. So I was on the horsemanship squad, and our uniforms were skin tight, like a second skin on you, which is another reason why it's a big pain point that, like, you know, you can see everything on there. Any roll, any curve, like, it's all visible. And it really does add to the overall picture to have a nice figure. Like, you know, we wear, like, push-up bras. We wear Spanx. We wear...
underneath all that stuff? Really?
Yeah, because you want to have a nice, like, perfect lines on your body. So it matters. It's like the unfortunate side of being in a subjective sport. It's a judged sport. And I think even if, like, you know, judges are being as morally correct as possible, like, they're still going to be more drawn probably to certain figures on horseback. A long, lean rider is going to look prettier on a horse probably than somebody who doesn't have a great body composition. It's just the fact of the matter.
Is that a big, like a big deal or a big conversation that that goes on in the sport or debate, I guess?
I wish it was a more open conversation. It's something I would love for it to become a more open conversation in the sport, but at least, you know, I'm a couple years out of it, I would say.
Yeah.
But during the times that I was in it, it was not a conversation being had. No. And it is a big issue, I think, that should be talked about more. But, you know, that's all to just lead up to say, like, you know, in college, I was doing this completely wrong. I was eating to try and get smaller. And, like, I would do all these different diets. I would do, you know, I've talked about before, like, I would do juice cleanses. I tried vegan for a little while. I did intermittent fasting. I, you know, did some paleo, some keto. I did some meal plans. I did, like, you name it, I tried it, did it all. I just restricted and I just, like, struggled and wondered, like, why is this not working? Why am I not getting smaller? And it took a lot of time, a lot of working with different coaches, a lot of digging into the education to really understand why things weren't working for me. And the reality is I just wasn't treating my body correctly. It took me to stop dieting and start learning how to just take care of my body and treat it like an athlete for my body to start to look athletic and to start to perform at its peak for me. So, you know, today I'm just going to share probably the most important key takeaways that every equestrian athlete should know. So number one, I kind of already alluded to it, but you need to fuel your body like an athlete. You are an athlete and you should fuel your body like one. Story time here. So, you know, I went to the Youth World Show, the AQHA Youth World Show in 2014. It was my last year as a youth. And this was like me, you know, I had always all my life really wanted to get like a top placing, like get a trophy in the Hunter Under Saddle, which is a class. And I know I'm speaking a lot of words that you just don't even know, Omar.
No, but I'm paying attention. Don't worry.
But so, you know, this was my last year in the youth division. So it was like my last chance. My amazing trainers had really helped me get set up for it. Like I had the most incredible horse. He's so freaking talented. His name is Stifler and he is just my dream horse, the horse of my life. I could never replace him. And long story short, I made the finals in the Hunter Under Saddle. And all my life, I felt like was living up to this moment. And the thing is, I almost missed the finals. And you know why?
Why? What'd you do?
I was eating a salad. And I got distracted. And I was spending too much time eating my salad. And I almost literally missed the finals. They were calling for them. And my trainers couldn't find me. And so anyway, basically, what happened...
Wait, what do you mean you were eating a salad? Like, you were... eating instead of focusing on going on your event?
Yep. So let me back up. So basically, you know, like I said, I felt like all my life was leading up to this and I wanted to be...
Well, I can tell it's still very important to you because you're kind of tensing up on me a little bit.
I know, I'm getting a little emotional looking back on it. And so basically, you know, this was the end of the summer, was the Youth World Show. And all summer long, I was dieting because I wanted to get as lean as possible for the Youth World. And so basically my... you know, 19 years old, my definition of dieting was just eat as little as possible. So I think I remember it was, you know, we got out of school in May. This was after my freshman year of college. So we got home from school and I just spent the entire summer just going from horse show to horse show with my trainers. literally from the day I left Athens, like we drove straight to a horse show and it just went from there. So during that time, you know, you're extremely active as you're out showing horses. Like you're on your feet all day long, especially the lifestyle I had because I mostly worked for my trainers. We had like a trade going, so I didn't really pay them to be a client. I worked for them. So I would help them with the two-year-old. I would lunge. I would do everything, but that required me to be.
The two-year-old horses?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So like
not
I would.
Their kids.
Yeah. So I would be, you know, up at like 5 a.m. to help feed and clean stalls and just start lunging horses. And I would just work all day long. So super physically active. So basically that was my dieting strategy. Just I'm already really active. I'm focused on other things. I'm busy. It's hot out. When you're hot, you don't really notice how hungry you are. It was easy to just not really eat. Just skip breakfast. You know, maybe have some snacks here or there. Like they got the nice snack table at the in the barns and the stalls, and it would just grab some things here and there, like keep some fruit, like, oh, I'll have a little bit of that, and just kind of go about your day. And I was not eating very much at all. And so I lost quite a bit of weight that summer.
And in your mind, did you think like, wow, like I'm making progress. Mm-hmm. I'm doing great. I'm doing all I can to prepare myself for.
Oh yeah. No, I was eating hardly anything. And I was trying to eat as like clean as possible, quote unquote. So there was most things that were just like off limits to me. So I would just adhere to this like unnecessarily strict diet, barely eating. And that all led up to me almost missing the finals. And, you know, I say it was because I was eating a salad. The real kind of backstory to that is that day, you know, the finals were supposed to be earlier in the day, but they got pushed back because that's kind of the story of life of the horse show world is to hurry up and wait. And so, you know, I was pretty much ready. I was dressed, like my horse was ready. We were ready to go, but then it just kept getting pushed back later and later. And like I said, I usually would just skip meals and just like kind of push things off. But then I got really hungry. And so I was like, crap, I need to eat something, but I don't have time to like go back to the horse trailers where I had like all my clean food to just like eat an apple or something to tide me over. So I was like, okay, I need to find something I can eat around here. So I walked around to like the different concessions. And it's like a pretty big showground. So I'm walking around the concessions. I find one that, you know, has salads available. So I pick out my salad, but of course it's lunchtime. There's a line, so it takes a while. And I'm just like sitting around waiting on my salad. Keep in mind, I was also severely under eating. I was probably very low energy. I guarantee you my metabolism had probably tanked by that point in the summertime. Because as you know, we've talked about this before, when you under eat for a period of time, your metabolism gets super duper slow. Your body chooses to conserve energy by slowing down your movement whenever it can. So if I wasn't working, you know, I wasn't doing things I had to do, like lunging, cleaning stalls, that stuff, I was probably just sitting down, like completely not moving at all, like probably not even blinking, because I was just like a zombie trying to conserve energy without realizing it. So me just sitting there, I didn't realize how much time had passed. You know, I got my like plain salad with like nothing on it, because, you know, no cheese, no croutons, like can't have any of that stuff, you know, it's bad, I thought. So I had my plain salad, you know, probably like maybe 200 calories in that salad. I'm sitting there eating it. And then finally, I like stroll back to the stalls. That's, again, I probably was walking in like slow motion because my body was probably conserving so much energy.
Did you just lose track of time?
Yeah.
Or what
so
happened?
I just lost track of time. And I got back and my older sister, Lindsay, and my mom and my horse trainers were there. And they were like freaking out because they're like, where the hell have you been? Like, we couldn't find you because I guess I didn't bring my phone with me. And I just was like, oh, whoops. And they're like, we got to go. Like, they're calling for us up at the arena. And they were so mad. But I'll never live that story down. We can all laugh at it now. But, like, my trainers still to this day, like, make fun of me for that. Like, if I were to actually have a salad today in front of them, they would be like, oh, you got to have your salad. So I'll never live that down. I'll always be the salad girl. But really, the whole takeaway there is the fact is I spent that summer completely under fueling myself because I thought that's what would best set me up to be successful in the finals at the World Show, to live up my dream and to ride at, you know, to get a trophy. And the reality is I didn't do very well in the finals. I actually rode really poorly. And I guarantee you part of that is because at that point in time, I was just so low energy. I was not very sharp, couldn't think very clearly. So like, you know, it comes down to performance. It's, yeah, we might not be like track athletes who have to sprint at peak capacity, and you know, it's easier, I think, for people to understand, like, oh sure, if you're like going to be sprinting at full force, you probably need to fuel yourself well for that. People will be like, oh well, you know, riding a horse, like, you're not using that much energy, right? But majority of your calories, like your carbs, are going to be burned in your brain. Your brain thrives off of glucose, which is the form of carbs in your body, essentially. So if you're not giving your body carbs, you're not giving your body proper fuel. If you are in a class like that, you're in the finals at the World Show, and you want to ride at peak performance, you need to be very sharp. You need to be able to think very quickly. You need to be able to read your horse really well. You need to be able to read your surroundings really well. And you need to be just operating at peak performance. Starving yourself, you're not going to be in peak performance, not by any means.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here. What would Vanessa today say as far as what you should do to the Vanessa back then? With all your expertise and all your knowledge and all your experiences that you've had up until today, what would you change as far as how you approached your eating back then?
I would have been having myself fuel my body the way I have my current clients fueling their bodies, all my equestrian athletes. It's like, for example, you know, I have a few girls who have been competing at WEF, which is a 12-week long horse show in South Florida. That it's a on the hunter circuit, so not the type of horse showing that I do, but it's, you know, very, very extreme. And these are professional equestrians, so this is what they do full time.
So you have to be there for 12 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gosh. And it's intense. And so, like, I've been working with these girls to develop a fueling strategy for them. And I always say, you know, we're fueling you like an athlete. And a lot of times I have to bring it back to the analogy of, like, they're basically like a marathon runner. Like, it's not like you're going out and running a sprint and we need to just prepare you to run that sprint. We need to prepare your body to be able to perform all day long. You're running a marathon every single day.
And for 12 weeks, obviously, mm-hmm. right?
The amount of energy these girls are exerting is a lot. So we just work to make sure that they're getting in a lot of foods. You know, like, for example, so I should be a little bit more clear too of what would be, you know, a good full day of eating, I guess, for a horse show girl. And this is going to vary portion sizes. Depends on the person, depends on your height, your weight, your age, your metabolic history, your hormone profile. Like, there's a lot of things to factor in to actually say how much each individual person should be eating. But I think for a lot of girls, you know, if you're not really sure where to start, if you're at a horse show, I always say, like, let's bookend your day with quality meals. So during the day, you're probably going to be very physically active, especially if it's summertime. And I know a lot of people are showing a lot during the summer months. It's hot out. You're outside all day long. It's a little bit harder to tell when you need food. And it's a little bit harder to digest food when your temperature is raised. So, like I said, get in a good breakfast, because we want to bookend our day morning and night with good wholesome meals that you can eat, that you can more sit down and digest. And then during the day, we need to have just like easy snackable foods that are easy to digest. So like a good example full day of eating for a client at a horse show might be a big filling breakfast with, you know, we need a protein source, a carb source, and a fat source, and we need some fiber in there. So maybe something like a big bowl of oatmeal with some protein powder stirred in and like some nut butter and some fruit. So like one thing I liked to do when I more recently showed horses, when I had a better strategy in mind for how to fuel myself, would be I would do, you know, if we were staying in a hotel or if we were staying in a horse trailer on the showgrounds, I'd make sure we have a big thing of oatmeal. Most hotels have microwaves, so you can just add some water and just microwave it, make a bowl of oats. I would bring with me basically a jar of protein powder, or if it was just a weekend show, I would just bring a Ziploc baggie with some protein powder in it. And I would do one scoop of protein powder in my oats, stir it up, grab a banana. Bananas are really easy to, you know, you can grab it at the gas station around the corner, or you can bring some with you. I'd put a banana in there, and then I would do like some almond butter. And then right there, you have the carbs from both the oats and the banana. And those carbs are going to be your main fuel source. And I like that the oats have some extra fiber in there, so that's going to be slower digesting. The almond butter is going to be your fat source. So it's important that we get good fats in the morning, because we're probably not going to have very much fats during the day, because fat is harder to digest. So you you're just probably not going to have very much of it while you're out and about. And we want to have some protein because protein is going to help you build and retain that lean muscle so you can be a strong horseback rider and you can get that, you know, nice lean toned figure you want. From there, you know, for lunch, I always say let's pack an adult lunchbox. This is something that like some of my clients have really mastered. Like I was saying, the ones who are just showing all the time, like they literally have their lunchbox that they carry up to the arena with them. They don't go up to the arena without it because they don't want to find themselves accidentally getting stuck up there for hours without food on them. You know, like one of my English clients, like, so, you know, I think as this episode gets released, WEF is probably just finished up a few weeks ago. So she spent like all 12 weeks of WEF bringing her lunchbox up to the arena with her. She would pack a, like a Quest protein bar, an apple, a banana, some almonds, like a Core Power protein shake, some trail mix, some grapes, some string cheese, some Gatorade or like another carb drink. We always had some carb drinks up there because that's an easy way. If you can't stomach food, you can drink your carbs. And like maybe some grilled chicken, just like little, you know, snackable type things that you can eat, you know, really quickly on the go, walking around or like on the back of a horse if you need to. Realistically, you're not going to sit there on the back of a horse and eat your salad that requires like a fork and a knife and is difficult to digest. Like you're not going to, you know, ride away and start jumping a course with that salad just like moving around your stomach. You don't want to do that. That's not going to make you feel very well. And like I said, these foods that she has during the day or all my athletes have during the day, they're going to be higher in carbs and protein because that's what you need to keep yourself fueled during the daytime. The fats, we want to get, make sure we get a lot of those at breakfast and at dinner time, but we're not probably going to have a lot of them during the day. Not a lot of fat or fiber because both of those two things are going to slow down your digestion, which could just leave you feeling a little bit bloated, a little bit maybe of an upset stomach if you have a sensitive stomach. It's not going to feel the best while you're moving around.
What else does a slow digestion do to your body? Like, is that, if it doesn't digest the food that you're intaking, does that mean there's no energy being produced for you to perform?
Sort of. I mean, more so like, okay, think of it this way. If your body is trying to digest food, so like fat is just takes a while to digest and fiber as well. It takes a while. It's slow. So if your body then is having to work on digestion, then a lot of your blood flow is being diverted to the stomach and the intestines. Instead, if you're riding a horse or, you know, just doing something physically active, you want to have your blood flow more so like in your limbs, in your big muscle groups, in your brain. Like you want to be able to perform and think very clearly. So think about, you know, after you have a really big meal, like let's say after Thanksgiving dinner and you just feel really sleepy and you don't feel like you want to move very much and you just want to lay down. That's because all of your blood flow is sitting in your stomach and your intestines and like trying to work through that giant meal.
Yeah, definitely. The last thing I want to do is go out and do anything. I just want to sit on my couch and watch TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like I said, you know, all day long, you're going to probably be operating out of that lunchbox with like those snacky type foods. Then at dinner time, that's when we want to kind of play catch up on like our veggie intake. Make sure we're still getting in lots of veggies. So maybe that's when you'll have your big salad or maybe just have like a protein source, like a meat with a side of vegetables. Something like that can really do the trick. I remember when I was showing, you know, like I would go to the Conyers Horse Park a lot over in Georgia. And like we'd be there for a few weeks for a couple of horse shows. And I would always just get takeout from the Outback Steakhouse down the road because it was super simple. I would just order up the same thing every day. I'd get a salmon with a dry sweet potato and a side of broccoli. And right there, I have my protein and fats from the salmon, healthy fats, awesome fat source in the salmon. And then I'd get some carbs from the sweet potato, but also just like a really nutrient-dense carb source, lots of vitamins and minerals in that. And the veggies in like the side of broccoli. So I'm getting the fibers and everything that I need. And that would help me recover from the day. So I'd wake up the next day feeling a lot more energetic. Just basically the big takeaway here, whether you are showing horses or, you know, if you are a D1 athlete, like, you know, I have a girl right now who's a D1 equestrian, and you know, she started working with me, I think, in maybe February, so like midway through the season. And at the time, she was barely eating, and we increased her food intake dramatically. She's, you know, I think was eating maybe 100 grams of carbs per day, and now she's eating well over 200 grams of carbs per day. And she visually has gotten so much leaner and more toned. Like, her muscles are popping, and she looks athletic, and she looks so good, and she feels amazing in her body. And that right there is because we gave her more carbs. Her body needed the carbs to fill out the muscles. Her body needed the carbs to be able to perform at peak performance. If you don't give your body carbs, then it has to burn other fuel sources, which just work a little bit slower. And then if you're overall under eating calories, it doesn't have the fuel sources at all to burn. It's going to burn off muscle. Your body will literally like cannibalize itself and just eat away its muscle. We could really go down that rabbit hole a lot, but basically the big takeaway is, like, if you are showing horses, you are burning a lot of calories. So especially if you're somebody who like works a day job normally, on the weekends when you're showing, just know that that's not a time to undereat. If anything, you need more food. But let's move on to number two before we just go on and on and on here. Number two, keep water intake high. So I know people just think a lot about like, what should I be eating? How much should I eat? But let's not forget about water. It's super duper important. And like, even if nothing else, if you just kind of eat like crap, you just eat out for every meal and you just kind of let your nutrition fall to the wayside, at least you can make yourself feel so much better by trying to get like a gallon of water per day. Generally, you know, we want to aim for half our body weight in ounces of water plus like 10 to 20 ounces per hour of exercise. You know, most of my girls, especially if they're dieting.
And they're dying probably from all the work they're doing.
No, but if they're dieting, like, we're aiming for at least a gallon. But really, if you're riding all day long, like, that means that you might be essentially, like, exercising for, like, 8 hours a day. So at that point, like, I would say let's aim for at least a gallon of water. If you struggle with drinking water, like, switch it up, you know, add some Crystal Light, add some like one of those little Mio squirt things, or like some sparkling water can help too. Basically anything that's going to be zero calories, like in moderation, you can use that stuff for sure. Definitely always just carry a water bottle with you. Like, never go up to the arena without one. Absolutely. You don't want to just, you know, think like, oh, I might only be up there for a few minutes, so I don't need water. Assume you need water. Always carry it with you. If you are flying to a horse show, you can bring empty water bottles through TSA and then fill it up on the other side. So again, always travel with a water bottle. You know, if you are somebody who drinks coffee, make sure that, like, just set a rule for yourself that you're going to have 30 ounces of water before you have your cup of coffee in the morning. That right there can be huge. But if you're really struggling with water intake, you know, it'll help to at least stay hydrated if you get like some fruits and veggies in, watermelon, cucumber. Those kinds of things have a lot of high water content. Like, I would keep a big pack of grapes in the freezer in the cooler at horse shows, and that was a super easy thing to just grab, like, a handful of grapes in between riding or lunging a horse and just have some of those. You know, bonus, good carb source, and nice water content there. But, like, if temperatures are high, so if it's summertime and you're showing in the outdoors and you're sweating, definitely also add some electrolytes. You want to replace that sodium and that potassium and everything that you're losing in your sweat. So I recommend like the Noon tablets or the Drink Element packets. All of those can be added to water maybe once a day to just help make sure that you're feeling your best, especially if you find yourself feeling lightheaded or dizzy at any time, then absolutely add some electrolytes. Number three. You know, this isn't necessarily nutrition related, but it is super important. Manage your sleep, or at least do some damage control. Sleep, you know, you might be thinking like, hey, that's not nutrition. Well, it affects your body's ability to use nutrients. And sleep does tend to suffer in the horse show environment, especially if you're traveling far, changing time zones. You're probably changing up your routine, your sleep arrangements. Sleep can definitely suffer. So nap when possible. Like I would definitely hang out in the chairs if I had a break and just pass out, get a little nap. But you can always, if you just struggle with sleeping at night, maybe supplement with some melatonin. That can really make falling asleep easier. But it's just super important because sleep, it regulates all your hormones. It's when your body recovers from everything. So like, it regulates your hunger, your mood, your energy levels. If you can get good sleep, you will definitely be just making better, more thoughtful eating decisions as well.
How much sleep is good sleep, would you say? Like, I know you've said, and I've done a little bit of research on, you know, if you get enough sleep for your body, it'll help with your muscle recovery and all that stuff. But, I mean, how much should you be aiming for?
At least 7 hours.
Okay.
Less than 6 hours is when things start to go wrong. And if anybody's like, oh, I sleep less than 6 hours and I feel fine, that's just because you don't know how good you'll feel if you consistently get more sleep. There's studies done on, well, there's a lot of research done on this, and it's, I think, like, I don't remember what it is, but it was less than 1%. It was like 0.0 something of the population is actually okay on less than 6 hours of sleep.
Interesting.
Everybody else is going to be affected. You just might not be able to feel it, but it's on the on your insides, you're being affected. If you have less than 6 hours, it's going to negatively impair you in a lot of ways.
And doesn't, like, if you sleep less than 7 hours, doesn't that make your body also crave more, like, junk food and maybe not feel as full the other day?
Absolutely.
Like, I did some research before this.
I love it. Like, you probably even know, too, if you, let's say you were traveling and you had to wake up at, like, some ungodly hour to be able to get to the airport, do you ever feel like your stomach is kind of off?
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, and granted, I'm always hungry myself, so when I wake up, I'm always kind of hungry, but, yeah, if I don't have the right amount of sleep the next day, like, yeah, I just feel off. I don't feel like myself.
Typically what tends to happen is, like, you'll feel almost a little bit nauseous in the morning. Like, you might feel just kind of weird in your stomach and off. And then you'll end up having really weird, strong cravings later in the day. And typically it tends to be, like, your body is looking for very quick energy sources. So you might find yourself craving, like, easy-to-digest carb sources, which tends to translate over to things like, you know, junk food. So typically that's what tends to happen. And, you know, it's like, again, if you can always consider supplementing with something like melatonin at night for a natural sleep aid. Melatonin is a hormone that your body produces when the sun goes down, and it just basically signals to the brain that, hey, it's time to start settling down for sleep. So it is totally natural. You do want to be conscientious, though, if you start to supplement with it, because it is a hormone. If you take it consistently over time, it'll just suppress your body's natural production of melatonin. So it's something you want to cycle on or off. Last takeaway here, this one is a big one. We've kind of talked about it a little bit here already, but basically, number four, just remember to eat. It is super normal to lose your appetite if you are active and outside riding and showing and practicing and training horses and doing all these things, especially if it's warm outside. If it's summertime, or if you are, you know, on the hunter circuit and you're showing in South Florida all wintertime, that heat and that humidity, it's going to naturally suppress your appetite. But just remember, that does not mean that your body doesn't need the fuel. Just because you're not hungry doesn't mean that you don't need to eat. Like I said before, you probably actually need to be eating more on these days than you when you aren't showing, because you are physically active. And when you get busy and you get stressed, that's another reason that you're probably not going to feel as hungry. Like, remember, if your body's stressed out, it doesn't understand the difference between different types of stresses. It just understands stress as stress. And stress equals danger. So if you are in danger, if you're running for your life, your body just wants to survive. And it's not going to say, hey, now's a great time to go ahead and sit down and eat something. It's going to say, yo, run for your life. There's something that we're in danger of right now. So if you're stressed out, you know, you maybe have been showing and you haven't been getting good results, or maybe somebody said something that made you mad, like you're struggling, you know, you're in a tiff with somebody, or like just whatever's going on in your horse show life, and you start to get stressed out, you're probably going to lose your appetite. Some people stress eat, which is another story, but it is very common to lose your appetite when you're stressed. But like under eating, it's not going to get you closer to your goals. Whether you're trying to lean out, whether you want to lose body fat and just have a more improved body composition, or if you're just trying to perform at your peak performance, under eating is not the way to get you there. It's going to just eventually, your body's going to catch up with you. Like when you get back from the horse show the following week, you're probably going to naturally end up finding yourself binging on some different things, overeating here and there, because your body is going to say, yo, we have got to overcompensate now. And that can just totally undo any progress you've made. So really quick here, like some signs that you might need to eat that aren't necessarily hunger. If it's just been like 5 hours or so since you last ate a meal, that right there is like you've got to eat. I've talked about before, like I think it's good to try and eat every 3 hours. That's usually a good sweet spot for most people. So if it's been over 5 hours since you last ate a meal, even if you don't feel hungry, you need to eat something. If you find yourself feeling tired or you just can't concentrate, that's a sign that you need to eat something. Remember, your brain runs on glucose. If you feel lightheaded, that's a sign. If you feel cold, like temperature regulation is a big sign that you might be needing some fuel. If you get blurred vision, like if, you know, when you stand up quickly or like you get off your horse and you just hit the ground and suddenly you're like feeling a little bit like you see spots, that's a sign you need to eat. Or if you just at the end of the day just have like that empty feeling in your stomach, even if it's not growling, even if it doesn't feel like an appetite, if you just feel that emptiness feeling, it's probably a sign you probably should eat something. So I know this has been a longer episode today. If you have listened this far, then thank you. And you are probably a horse girl, which means congratulations. You are an athlete. Remember that. That should be the main takeaway here. You have always been an athlete your whole life. There is an extreme level of athleticism that goes into riding horses, and you need to start treating your body like an athlete. Fueling yourself like an athlete instead of holding yourself back by just doing these fad diets and just under eating and just trying to make your goal to eat less and less. That's not going to help you. You're not going to be able to lean out doing that. So if this has been like interesting to you, if you want to learn more about this stuff, I actually do have a full guide on this. I compiled like all of my secrets from myself and just from working with tons of horse girls. I put it all into a really simple 3-step guide for my horse girl clients. But if you are a podcast listener, I want to give it to you for free. So I'll drop that link in the description of this podcast. If you want that, go ahead and download it. I'm not sure how long I'm going to leave that open for, so hop on that. And if you learned something today, do me a favor. Go ahead and share this on your story with other horse girls, because you probably know a lot of them, and I would love to spread the word about how to fuel your body for horse girls. So do me that favor. It means a lot to me. It really, really helps out here. Help me spread the good word. My mission here with this stuff is just to help all the equestrians start to actually fuel themselves better, fuel themselves like athletes, and that starts with educating.
And to your point, I think that's what makes the nutrition and the food industry, I guess, so hard, is because with today's like internet and everybody has an iPhone or a computer nearby that can access all this information, there's just so much out there that you just get absolutely overwhelmed if you try and look at this stuff on your own, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, and I'm going to give you props and trying to earn some brownie points here, but this is what truly makes you an expert on this stuff, is because you've lived this lifestyle and you know how to properly fuel your body and help those girls that need this information. But more important than that, I mean, you can truly customize all these training programs and nutrition guides to each individual person's needs, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's so important. I think it's so cool that you're able to do this with the information you have and the experience you have.
Thanks, Omar.
So, well, props, you know, to me and you.
that's the thing. Like I said at the beginning, you know, with the story of me almost missing the finals, that just comes down to the fact that I made so many mistakes throughout my time showing horses and competing and being a D1 athlete and all of that. I made so many mistakes. I did everything completely wrong. And if I had learned how to do things right in the beginning, maybe I would have been more successful. I might have come home from that world show with a big old trophy. I might have been a top athlete on the UGA equestrian team. I might have just been like the top rider if I had figured out how to fuel myself correctly. But I don't regret it. I don't regret any of it one bit, because the reason that I made all those mistakes, you know, it made me into the coach I am today. It helps to where now I can speak to all these girls who are making those same mistakes, understand why they're doing it, and help them get to the other side so that they don't have the same results that I did.
I love it. So cool.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. If you learned something today, the best way to say thank you is to subscribe to the podcast and leave a 5-star review in iTunes. And if this particular episode resonated with you, do me a favor and take a screenshot and share it on your Instagram story. Don't forget to tag me at Vanessa G Fitness so I can show you some love. All right, my carb queens, talk to you in the next episode.